Hello, I'm Chaplain Blonnie Gregory, and I want to welcome you to my broadcast today. Let me pray with you, please. Father, I pray as this broadcast goes across the airways that you will touch hearts and lives. And I pray, God, that you'll help people see that the saving knowledge and be revealed to see the saving knowledge of you. That to be born again, we must receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I pray, Father, that you deal with hearts and deal with lives. And God, we come together today and we pray for our great nation. We pray that you will bless America, and we pray for the leaders of our country, God, that you will help them, lead them, and guide them in the paths of righteousness. And God, I pray that you bring revival to our great nation. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus. We all know that we're rapidly approaching the time when many prophecies concerning the winding up of this age are being fulfilled. And we know that Jesus is coming back soon. And we also know from reading God's Word that the earth is getting ready to face a 7 year of great tribulation time such as never been known on this earth. But we also know that before this time comes, that we can experience a great revival in our land. You know, if we who are called by God's name, God's people, will humble themselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways and seek His face, He said He would hear from heaven and He would heal our land. And I truly believe that if we'll seek God, God will bring revival in our country. And I know you that are listening to me today, you want to see a change come in your country, coming back to the morals that we had, coming back to a time that in America went such turmoil and evil that's run rampant. But God can bring us back to that place if we'll turn back to Him. My scripture today is I want to talk to you out of the book of 1 Samuel. And you know, as you look back into the history and the reading of God's Word, you can see things that happened in the kingdom at that time, and you can parallel it with what's happening today. And you can also see the warnings of the events that happened then and the warnings we should take as we read and understand this. And we also should realize that God is the same. He hasn't changed. What He did for them, He'll do for us. In other words, if we will turn to God, God will turn and render unto us salvation, and He has given us all things freely if we'll just call on Him and humble ourselves before Him. How many of you know when a leader rejects God, he rejects the hand of God that protects the nation that he leads? And let me go over that again. When a leader or leaders of a country, a nation, a city, a town, a state, a family, when they reject God's hand, they reject the hand of God that keeps them from evil. So today we're seeing in our country a nation that is slowly and was starting out slowly, but now looks like going rampant of rejecting God. Therefore, they are rejecting the hand of God that will protect and provide for our country. But God has a remedy, and I want to read that, and I want to talk to you about that remedy today in the scripture. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, I want to read this part right here. It said, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, in this portion of scripture, David and his men, which at this time David was running from King Saul. And let me give you a little background on that. David, though he had been anointed to be the future king of Israel, he knew his time had not yet come. He had to wait on God's timing. But Saul, who was the king of Israel at this time, had rejected God, had rejected God's word, and therefore he was a rejected king. And he knew that David would one day take his throne. And let me tell you something. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 18:12, it says this, "And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from him." And 1 Samuel 18:15 said, when Saul saw that he, David, behaved himself wisely, he was afraid of him. Now, you know, it's amazing to think that if somebody knew that God was with a person and that God was blessing a person and that person was behaving himself wisely, why would you be afraid of them? Saul was afraid of David because God was with him and not with Saul. And he did everything he could to destroy David. He chased him down. David and his men had to run and hide, and they had to keep on the go because Saul sought to kill him. Why did Saul hate David? Because David was doing good? Because your light that shines through God through you throws light on their evil deeds, and they don't want that to happen. That's the reason when a country becomes in a moral decay, they begin to turn on Christians, because the Christian way of living and the light of the Lord Jesus Christ throws light on their evil deeds, and therefore they hate that, and they don't want their evil deeds to be exposed. And that's why so many people turn against God's people, is because they don't want people to find out exactly what they're doing and the evil that they're caught up in. I believe with all my heart, excuse me, that America is now what you might say in that Saul and David syndrome. We got Sauls running around in the country where they hate the Davids of this country. They hate people that's walking with God. They hate people who has the anointing of God on their life. And they hate the calling that they have on their life because it brings a reproach and shame to the evil that they're doing in their lives. And they do everything they can to shut it down. I want you to think about the people today who are fighting against churches, who are fighting against Christians. All other religions seem to have a freedom and a free reign, but when it comes to Christianity, it looks like the blocks have been set down on it, and it's trying to be hindered. But let me tell you something. You can't stop God. You just better mark it down, as my mama used to say, mark it down in your little black book. You can't stop God. Now, how can you tell when a leader has rejected God? Like I said, they hate the ones that's doing good, and they will not obey God, want nothing of God to do in their life. The people lose respect for them. They are in a kingdom, and their lives are troubled. People become suicidal, and they seek the occult rather than the things of God. Have you noticed the occult and all the things that are on TV that are warlocks and the walking dead and zombies and all this witchcraft talking with people from the great beyond and ghost stories? People are now seeking the occult. Why? Because they've rejected God. But let me explain something to you. In Leviticus chapter 26, and later when you have time, I encourage you to read this whole chapter. God laid out a warning and a blessing. He gave instructions to people who would walk with him. And then he said those that would walk contrary to him, certain things would happen. And in Leviticus chapter 26, he said, God said, if you walk contrary to me, then I'll walk contrary to you. And there's a list of things that happen when a nation or an individual walks contrary to God and to God's word. And I'm just going to name a few things listed in this chapter of Leviticus that happens in a nation when they walk contrary to God. The first thing he said, that terror would be appointed over your land. Let me say that again. I didn't say that. God's word said that. He said if a nation rejects him and walks contrary to him or an individual, he said that terror would be appointed over your land. He said there would be great diseases spread over your land. He said you would eat and not be satisfied. You would pine away and become faint of heart. In other words, a nation that walks contrary to God would lose heart. And then you would sow seeds and your enemy will eat it. In other words, you will work a hard day's work, but other people will benefit and take what you have worked for, and it won't come to you, but it'll go to others. You'll sow seeds, but your enemies will eat it. And then this is what he said, when the nation walks contrary to him, this is what happens. He said, your enemies will reign over you and will hate you. In other words, they'll come into your land and they'll buy up your banks, they'll buy up your coal companies, they'll buy up all your businesses. They will rule over you and they will hate you. And then he said he would send wild beasts and rob you of your children. Now, we don't have to wait for a time like that. Never have we seen such wild beasts have come up against our children in this land. You say, what are you talking about, wild beasts? I'm talking about you can't even let your child walk down in front of your house anymore without being chaperoned. You're afraid to let your children play in their own yards. You're afraid to let them go to school. You don't know who's going to come in and kill your children while they're in school. You are thinking about the drug situation that is in our country. If that's not a wild beast, I don't know what is. And then I could go on and on and on. But God said, he said, those that have rejected me, he said that they would hear a leaf shaking in, and they would run thinking a whole army is coming against them. In other words, they won't be able to stand. Let me tell you something. The ungodly are so unsure of themselves, you can take a leaf off of a branch. According to God's word, Leviticus 26:36, he said you could shake a leaf, and they would run, and they would think a whole army is coming up against them. Now, at this time, let me tell you, we're in a time in America that we need help. And when we go back to this scripture, a time when David was greatly distressed, he had come back in off of a march, and the enemy had come in and taken his children, his wives, and his possessions, and had run in and carried everything off. And the Bible says that David and his men were so stressed and so upset that they wept until they could weep no more. And they were so upset that his own men spoke of stoning David, like David had something to do with it. David didn't do it. The enemy done it. And you know, when a people become so distressed and get their mind off of the power of God, they will look for someone to blame for all their troubles. Let me say that again. When a person or a nation or a leader of a country, when they are so distressed with all the trouble around them, they will try to blame someone else for the trouble and distress that they're in and put the blame on somebody else instead of trying to seek a solution to get out of it. I think that it is far past time that we sit down and quit blaming everybody for this. We blame this for this. I just want to know when someone is going to stand up and do something to better and to get us out of the situation that we're in now. And that's what David faced. When he faced this, this is what David done. The Bible said that he encouraged himself in the Lord. In other words, he didn't look for someone else to do it. He encouraged himself in the Lord because he knew that his men couldn't help him because they were at that time against him. He knew that his family couldn't help them because they had been carried off into captivity. He knew that God was his only source and God had to help him. And the Bible says that he sought the Lord. And that's something, let me tell you, you will find out a man's communion with God of how he faces the enemy and how he reacts on the battlefield. Let me say that again. You will find out what kind of communion a man has with God when he faces adversary and he faces the battlefield and he faces hard situation. You will find out if he really had communion with God, because if you really have communion with God, you're going to have a solution and you're going to come to victory. And that's what David done. He knew he had to get his answers from God because man didn't have it. And he sought the Lord, and the Lord told him this. He said, you go ahead and you pursue the enemy. In other words, go on out after the enemy. And then he said, this is what you do. You overtake them. You go ahead and you go with the intent to overtake them. And then when you overtake them, he said, you will recover all. In other words, when you do what God says, He will lead you to a place that you'll overtake that thing that's destroying your life, and you will recover all that you have seemingly lost. I believe that can happen in America. I believe that if we, in God's love, and we through God's Word, if we will pursue that, what God has told us, and go after that, what God has told us to do, we can cause the enemy to cease his operation in our land. The enemy of sin, and the enemy of hate, the enemy of bigotry, the enemy, I could go on and on and on, but the enemy against our soul, and against our nation, against our freedoms, we can cause it, by faith in God, it can cease. And then we, as David, we can recover all. And that's what David done. He got his men together. And let me tell you, when you have encouraged yourself in the Lord, then you in return can go encourage those around you and get them back in one mind and one accord. That's what we need in our country. We need it today. We need it right now. We need men and women who have encouraged themselves in the Lord, who has got a message from God and can go out across this land and tell it to the people to encourage them and get them back together so we can march together and go take back that which the enemy has taken from us. Do you believe that can happen? I believe that can happen in our land. I believe God can give us a revival in our country. But I believe that we got to come in one mind, and we got to come in one accord, and we got to quit fighting against one another. This party against that party, and this group against this group, this individual against this. It can't be. It's got to stop, because a house divided, a nation divided, will fall. We've got to be in one mind and one accord. And that's why when one nation under God will not be divided. But we have got to come back to our values. And we've got to come back to a place where we fear God and we'll keep His Word and we'll teach our children to walk in the truth of His Word. And that's what David done. He pursued the enemy. And just like God said, He overtook them. And not only did he overtake them, he got back all his possession. He got back all his family, all of his men, and they received their families back. And then they got all that the enemy had. And then they were able to go out and bless others with what they had. In other words, when they did what God said do, the enemy was defeated. They took back their possessions, and they were able, once again, not to be in bondage, but they could give to others. In other words, the Bible says that the borrower is subject to the lender. When you get yourself in debt, you're in bondage to ever who you're in debt to. And you're surely in trouble when you get yourself in debt to nations that are against you. You've got to realize that when you follow God's will, He'll give you a plan to recover all. He'll give you a plan to put your family back together. And He'll give you a plan to where you can get your possessions back and you can be an encouragement to others as well. And that's what happened to David. But let me explain something to you. This was a hard time in David's life. This was, I guess, one of the hardest battles that he had ever faced in the whole time that he ran from Saul and in the whole time that he had to live like he did. But you know what? He didn't quit. He didn't lose hope. He sought God in the darkest hour of his life. He sought God not only for himself, but for his family, for his nation, and for his army. And because he sought God with a sincere heart, God gave him a remedy and a plan of victory. And he got the victory. I believe that can happen to us today if we will do the same as David. I believe we can have revival in our land. And I believe we, like David, can have victory. And we, like David, can go out and we can encourage those around us. I believe with all of my heart today that if we'll come together in one mind and one accord and work together, there's a little song that the children used to sing in Sunday school, and I sang it when I was a little girl. It said, when we all pull together, how happy we'll be. For your work is my work, and our work is God's work. When we all pull together, how happy we will be. We've got to quit dividing ourselves among one another. We've got to come back together as one nation under God. And we're going to have to pull together in one mind and in one accord. And then, and only then, can we see the victory. The other day I was praying and I was asking God about revival in the last day, because I know we can have revival in this last day. I know there can be a mighty sweep across our country and God can give America back the glory that she once had. And God reminded me of the first miracle that Jesus worked when he began his ministry. The very first miracle that Jesus worked was at a wedding. And it was when they had ran out of wine, and he turned the water into wine. And the governor of the feast, when he tasted the wine, he said, how is it that you have saved the best wine until last? Usually people give people the best wine at first, and when they have well drunk, then they bring out the lesser wine. But he said, you have saved the best until last. And the Lord put in my spirit this. He said, Lonnie, there is coming a great wedding. That is the wedding of the bride united with the groom. We shall see the king. I'm talking about the wedding feast of the bride of Lamb and us, the church, his bride. And we'll be united with the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. He said, if I did not bless the first wedding that I went to, will I not bless my very own wedding? And have I not told you that I'm saving the best until last? In other words, he worked a miracle. His first miracle was turning water into wine at a wedding. And he said, I'm going to save also the best until last at my very own wedding when the bride is united with the bridegroom, the church with Jesus Christ. And that's going to be the best until last. I don't believe the church is going out here. I'm talking about an on fire church. I'm talking about a church that is sought God. I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about the true believers in Jesus. I don't think we're going out here defeated. I don't think we're going out here poor and grieving and despised. I believe we're going out here victorious. And I believe we can leave here with revival. And I believe in these last days that we can see more souls saved than ever before. And I believe that if we will join together in one mind and one accord and pull together, that we can join together and see a revival that'll go across this land. Now this was, like I said before, a very distressful time in David's life. He could have quit. He could have given up. This was a terrible time in his life. But let me tell you something. Listen very, very carefully. This incident that happened at Ziklag, when all of his possessions and his wife and his children was gone and his own men turned against him, and it was a terrible time and everything seemed to be hopeless, he encouraged himself in the Lord and God gave him the victory. And it was, this incident happened 2 days before King Saul died and 2 days before David was to take the throne over Israel. Now, what if he had quit those 2 days earlier? He would have missed out on the greatest promotion that he ever had. He would have missed out on the calling God had for him. He would have missed out on the anointing that God had promised him. Well, as a youth, he was anointed king over Israel. But if he had given up in his adversity, if he had given up when all things seemed to be hopeless, if he had given up when it seemed like everyone had turned against him, if he had failed to encourage himself in the Lord, he'd have missed out on being crowned king over Israel. And I want to encourage you today. It's not hopeless. It's not over. Don't give up. Don't quit. Encourage yourself in the Lord. How do you encourage yourself in the Lord? First, you pray and you seek His face. Secondly, you get in His Word and do His Word. God will instruct you through His Word. His Word is living. His Word is truth. His Word is life. His Word will lead you. He said, I'll lead you and I'll guide you and I'll direct and I'll order your footsteps. God will do that for an individual. He'll do that for a family. He'll do that for a town, a city, a nation, a state. He'll do it for anyone if we'll just step out in faith and follow what He says to do. God is pleading with this nation before it's too late to follow Him in victory, to recover all, to bring glory back into this great nation, one nation under God. And that's what we got to do. We got to pray for the leaders of our country. We have to hold them up in prayer. We have to hold our families up in prayer. We have to keep ourselves encouraged in the Lord. And I want you to determine in your heart that you're going to get in a good Bible-believing church, a church that's preaching the true Word of God. Fellowship one with another. Don't lay out of church. Don't quit church. Now's the time we build up our churches. Now's the time we support our churches. Don't quit now. It's just before we're going to witness the great crowning. All that we've been told about, but our eyes have never seen, never has it entered into our hearts, or we perceived how great it's going to be. And I'm not talking about an earthly king. I'm talking about when the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory is crowned king. I want to be there. Oh, I want to be there. Oh, there's a blessed time a-coming soon. It may be evening or at noon. When the wedding of the bride shall be united with the groom, we shall see the King when He comes. Oh, don't let anything here discourage you. Don't let anything here stop you. But press on. Keep on keeping on. Like David, don't give up. Don't quit. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Jesus said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Oh, He's faithful, and His Word is faithful. His Word is true, and if we'll stand on it, we can be blessed. And I pray today that if you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, that you will right now ask Jesus to come into your heart and forgive you of your sins, and He will. And I want to ask you, if you will, you can visit me on my website, truckingforjesus.org. I have my books on there. I have many of my tapes on there, a lot about my ministry, and I invite you to visit that, truckingforjesus.org. But most of all, I ask that you join with me in faith and in prayer and believe with me that we'll see revival fire come once again to our great and wonderful country. I want to thank you for listening, and I want to thank you for tuning in to this broadcast. Tune in again next week at the same time for another powerful message in God's Word. God bless you. May the earth know there is a God in America, Lord God Jehovah. God bless you this day. Thank you for listening.